Today is Lowe's Sunday, and these are the announcements. The chapel will continue to remain closed, so therefore public masses and devotions are still canceled. However, those who wish to go to confession, receive the sacrament of penance, may do so by contacting us. And then next Sunday, second Sunday after Easter, the Mass live stream only will be at 9 a.m. And you may view the Sunday and daily Masses on the live stream on our website. Feast days this week are on Tuesday, April 21st, the Feast of St. Anselm, the Bishop, Confessor, and Doctor, and one of the great inspirations for the Church, but also one of the reasons why St. Augustine became a saint. Wednesday the 22nd, the Popes and Martyrs, St. Soter and Caius. Thursday, Martyr St. George. 24th, St. Fidelis Sigmaringen, the Martyr. And then finally, on Saturday the 25th, Feast of St. Mark, which we'll speak about him for a moment. And as you know, he was not an apostle. He was one of the evangelists. And he was associated with St. Peter. In fact, his account in the gospel that he wrote, a lot of it, if not most or all of it, and of course inspired by the Holy Ghost, comes from the account of St. Peter. And so that is a second-class feast. And as the custom is for many centuries, that on that day we commemorate the rogations. There are, rogare, that's the Latin word for to ask or beg. And so there are these special times of the year on the Feast of St. Mark, and then also before the Feast of the Ascension, that special petitions are made to have mercy on the human race, on Catholics. And so there are processions, and then the Litany of the Saints is recited. So on that day, all those who are bound by the law of the Church under pain of sin to recite the Divine Office are also required or bound to recite the entire Litany of the Saints and the prayers called the Preces that follow the Litany of the Saints. St. Mark was, when he wrote this gospel, he actually, as you may know if you know your scripture, he was an eyewitness to a lot of the events that he wrote about. He knew our Lord and was one of the disciples. So as God does in creation, and he did it with the Church, he has hierarchy. He had a chief apostle, St. Peter, then the 11. And then there were the disciples, and it was considered to be numbering 72 disciples. And then the rest of the faithful, other disciples and the faithful. So he's one of the close disciples following our Lord, but he puts in his account of our Lord's passion and death, how there was, when our Lord was arrested, that there was a young man observing this terrible event of the Son of God being attacked, assaulted in the middle of the night by his enemies, by the conspiracy of one of his own apostles, Judas, with religious leaders and the Roman authorities to arrest our Lord, who's totally innocent. And there was in St. Mark's account of the gospel, he relates that there was this young man observing this and that he was grabbed by the enemies of our Lord. And because he was afraid, like the rest of the apostles, he ran away, but they grabbed his clothing and he ran away naked. So St. Mark puts that in his account. It may mean that he was virtually unclothed, maybe not completely naked, but the point of the story, he put it in there, and it's believed by scripture scholars that that, in fact, was he, St. Mark, who ran away to show his fear and out of humility, but to be accurate, that he was not always faithful to our Lord. Of course, this is all inspired by the Holy Ghost to put that in the scripture. So that is a day to, if you have the devotion and the patience, to recite the Litany of the Saints, which can be found in your missal. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, as we mentioned ago, and as you know from your missal, and if you are familiar with the liturgical year, the name of this Sunday is called Low Sunday. Also called Quasimodo Sunday, also called Sunday in White, or Dominus in Albis. It's also called Pascha Clausum, because it finishes the Easter octave, meaning the Paschal mystery, or the octave, is closed. So we've just concluded the Easter octave, and it's called Low Sunday because there was such a great celebration from Easter Sunday to yesterday, and great joy over the newly baptized who were wearing white garments the entire week, that in comparison, this Sunday was lesser glory, less celebration, and maybe even for some sort of a relief or recovery from all the ceremonies and celebration. So, as I said, Dominica in Albis. And it really comes from yesterday, because yesterday was the day that was the day that the newly baptized put down, took off their white garments. It was called post albis depositas, or deponendis, meaning to set aside the white garments. And now they join the rest of the faithful in their ordinary clothes as they assist at Mass and receive the sacraments. So these are very great days of the liturgical year and in the life of the Church, because it requires every person, all the faithful, but especially those who have the complete Catholic faith, meaning true Catholics. They follow it and believe it in every detail and every doctrine, dogma, commandment. We all strive and desire to be perfect, but even the saints committed sins. So we know the right and wrong as we are instructed by Holy Mother the Church and hopefully by our parents, if they are good, by priests, bishops, and popes, if they're good. So sometimes we commit sins and we disobey those commandments, but we always know right and wrong, and we know what we have to do. To go back and tell God we're sorry. And that's what we did this whole Lent. And we have confidence that we are forgiven our sins, because this feast of Easter, the reenacting and commemorating the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the greatest feast of the year. It's our Lord's victory over death and sin. So when our Lord was born into this world on Christmas, he brought from heaven divine life. He brought himself. The Holy Trinity from all eternity decided that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, would become man and become one of us. And his whole life culminated in his death on the cross, which we just commemorated and liturgically reenacted a little over a week ago on Good Friday. Just a few days ago, but it seems so long ago. So on Easter, we must rise again. Over sin, over ourselves, over our inclination to sin. And it may seem impossible to do that at times. But see, we have full confidence in the grace of God to do that for the rest of our lives, for the rest of this year, this month, this week, this very day. We have the grace of God. What is a beautiful thing. Yesterday's Mass, it used to be that it was the stational church was St. John Lateran, the official church of the Catholic Church. Not St. Peter's, actually, it's St. John Lateran. And that's where yesterday's Mass was. And where all the baptized would take off their white garments. So today's Mass, the stational church, is St. Pancras. And he was a young teenager, 14 years old. And he was martyred under the Roman Emperor Diocletian the same year as St. Agnes. And his relics were brought to England by Pope Vitalian. And he was so revered, this young man, for his faith, that St. Augustine of Canterbury, the great apostle to England, Great Britain, brought his relics to the church in Canterbury and placed those relics there and named the church after St. Pancras. And St. Gregory the Great spoke of his relics. And St. Gregory of Tours speaks of him as the avenger of perjuries. And the reason is because for many centuries there was a perpetual miracle of those who made false oaths there at his relics. So if somebody was required to tell the truth, they would bring the person in front of the relics in his church in Canterbury, England, and make him testify, and if the person lied in front of these relics of St. Pancras, they were punished right on the spot. So it just shows an example of how God gives favors to saints for their fidelity. Now these are two readings, the Epistle and the Gospel of today's Mass. We could speak a long time about it, and we don't have that time. But they were written, as you know, both by the same person, St. John, who was a witness to everything our Lord did in terms of what the apostle saw. And he was called the beloved apostle. Can we say that Jesus had his favorites? Absolutely. He had a human nature. He had both divine love and human love. It's completely false that everybody is loved all the same. God loves more certain people more than others. He loves the Blessed Virgin Mary more than others. He loves St. John more. He loves, sometimes, great sinners more than other people. He loves St. Mary Magdalene more. That's his prerogative to do that. And so we have in this beautiful but somewhat mysterious epistle how what is the central thing of our whole reality on earth is our Catholic faith. Without our faith, we would be lost. How many people today in these extreme, uncertain circumstances where the majority of the population, their life, their livelihoods are turned upside down. They have no job, no income. No school, no place to work, and they are on their own. And this is where our faith, your faith, saves you. Because St. John just, I read it a moment ago, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? But also we need hope and charity. And how many lose their way because they may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they deny the Holy Eucharist. So our Lord, the Son of God, inspired St. John to say these things that in heaven there are three that bear witness to the truth, and on earth there are. So to sum it up, as one commentator says, in heaven the three persons of the Blessed Trinity give testimony to the divinity of Christ, the Father, God the Father, at our Lord's baptism. So you remember the event when our Lord was baptized. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, on Calvary, our Lord gave testimony to his divinity by dying on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he gives testimony. And then they also give testimony on earth by water, which is, of course, baptism, by blood, which is Calvary, and the Holy Eucharist. And the Spirit, or breath, which is again recalling the Holy Ghost coming on the Feast of Pentecost to the apostles. Whoever believes in the Son of God has within him the witness of God in three persons. So we have this great testimony in heaven and on earth about the divinity of Jesus Christ. That Christ is the truth. And that, as St. John said in this epistle, he who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. You have, by your faith, you have the very testimony of the Son of God in your soul. You know why? Because you have the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. If you are in the state of grace, you have divine life, created share in this very life of God, but also what comes with sanctifying grace, which no one talks about, but it is the most important thing, that the Holy Trinity dwells in our souls if we are in the state of grace. And when we have the Holy Trinity in our souls, that is the testimony of God in himself who dwells in us. So you see how important it is that our faith, as it is manifested on this Low Sunday, how important it is that the Holy Trinity, the whole purpose of a reality is to give glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, this beautiful gospel, which we've occasionally spoken about through the liturgical year, but it is one maybe that we can all relate to, especially in these days, and especially for all of you who cannot come to Mass. Normally, this chapel has maybe 100, 120 people. There are only 5 people here. The rest of you are in your homes. And we address these words especially for you, these upcoming words. Because in a way, you're like the apostles. Our Lord rose from the dead, and they were afraid, and they're in the upper room waiting and praying. And lo and behold, our Lord appears, because now, by his divine power, he had a true body, physical, but it's glorified, so it is not limited by space and time. So he appears, he comes through the wall, and they are able to touch him. He submits to that. But they are afraid because at first they thought they were looking at a ghost. And we think, how surprising, these apostles lived with him and knew him for 3 years, and they still had doubts and were still afraid. And so, this event that took place last Sunday, Easter Sunday, he comes and stands in their midst and he says, "Peace be to you." So he wanted them to have peace of soul and not to be afraid. And he said, "Look at my hands. Look at my side. Look at these wounds." Now, God, of course, could have, because he's God and he has divine power. He could have had a perfect body when he came back on earth to the apostles. He didn't have to have the wound in his side or the wounds in his hands and feet. But he chose to keep them on Easter Sunday, the following Sunday, today, and for all eternity, because he has his wounds even in heaven this very moment. And he, to calm their fears, he breathed upon them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." So he instituted on Easter Sunday the sacrament of penance. Now it was by God's providence that one of the apostles was not there. Thomas, who was called the twin. He had a twin brother. And after our Lord disappeared and left them, St. Thomas comes and says, he notices there's something different with them, and they said, the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And here you'd think Thomas, who had been with these other apostles and disciples all these years, would believe them. But he said, no. He said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Have we ever done that? Do we know people that say, "No, I will not believe"? Well, we can relate to that. But see, St. Thomas wasn't just saying, "I refuse to believe," but he said, "I want proof. I want proof." And it was, of course, by God's providence that this occurred. Because how would he even know to say that he wants to see these imprints, these wounds in our Lord's hands, side, and feet? It was by the grace of God this happened. So a week later, today, again, the disciples are in the upper room. And again, our Lord appears. And he again says, our Lord says, "Peace be to you." And the condescension, meaning the humility of the Son of God to accommodate himself to the unbelieving apostle who's called the doubting Thomas. He turned to him and says, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side." He didn't say just touch it. He said, "Put it into my side," as you've heard it explained by our Father Superior on this day, so that St. Thomas was able to put his hand into the side and feel the beating heart, the sacred heart of Jesus. And he said, our Lord, to St. Thomas, "Be not unbelieving, but believing." That's a commandment of God to St. Thomas, to all the apostles and disciples there, and to all peoples for the rest of time. Be not unbelieving, but believing. So St. Thomas said those most famous words my Lord and my God. And Holy Mother, the Church has attached a 7-year indulgence when we say those words at the elevation, at the consecration of the host and the wine, when the priest lifts the host and the chalice. We say, my Lord and my God, those 5 words, and we receive a 7-year indulgence. The Church Fathers, Scripture scholars, and saints like one of the greatest saints of all time, Saint Gregory the Great, he says, the fact that the disciples were slow in believing the resurrection was not so much their weakness as our future strength. For the resurrection, by a very reason of their doubt, was made clear by many proofs. And when we read these in the gospel, are we not, by their very hesitation, confirmed in faith? In fact, Mary Magdalene, more quick to believe, helps us less than Thomas, who long doubted. For through his doubt, he touched the scars left by the wounds and cut the wound of doubt from our breast. And those words are so important that Holy Mother, the Church, put them in the Divine Office on Matins, in Matins, on the Feast of the Ascension. Final couple of points. We're taking a little extra time because we believe not only in the importance of this day, but also in the fact that people need all of you who cannot assist a Mass and have a great desire to be present, physically present at the Holy Sacrifice of Mass and cannot, you need extra help. This coronavirus has come upon the earth. It is a scourge from God. We have to suffer for our sins. The good suffer because they have their own sins. No one is sinless. So we suffer for our own sins. We also suffer for the sins of others. It is a very fundamental doctrine of the faith that God rewards the good and punishes the evil. How many saints have been victim souls who suffer for the sins that not only that they have committed, but also the sins of others? Because we are all in this together. God chastises those whom he loves to purify us so that we make up for our sins in this life and not in the next. Because how beautiful it is to suffer in this life, which is a very small amount compared to what would be in purgatory, which is far more severe, even for the venial sins that we are sent there for. And not to mention the horrific suffering in hell. So yes, this lockdown of the whole world and these circumstances, which seemed impossible just a few months ago. We ourselves said many times over the last 25 years, we don't know how long we'll be on earth, how long we'll have this mass. And God, by His grace, has given us at least this community to continue offering the Mass for the faithful and to offer it online. I would, we could say, give everyone, we could say, a suggestion, a counsel. We cannot command it, but to all the more practice spiritual reading, how important it is for everyone. This is The Imitation of Christ, this book. It's probably the first spiritual book I received, and I was not even a seminarian back in 1974. I was in high school, just graduated, and our Father Superior visited us in Colorado Springs in a little, very, very humble chapel south of Colorado Springs, the fall of 1974. And I had been thinking about a vocation to the priesthood. But there are so many things pulling me away. School, college, friends, relationships, opposition from people, all militating against the inspiration to be a priest. And Father Ward introduced me to this book, this edition, the one that has the beautiful engravings. And in many, I've read it so many times, or sections of it, I read it all the time, even a paragraph or a chapter. It keeps me grounded. It appeals to me. And we suggest reading the book 4 of this book that's read by and printed more than any other book in the history of printing except for the Bible. And book 4 has to do with the Blessed Sacrament and the Mass and receiving Holy Communion and the priesthood. And just a couple little paragraphs that are good for the soul. Many run to various places to visit the relics of saints and are astonished to hear their wonderful works. They behold the noble church buildings and kiss their sacred bones wrapped up in silk and gold, which is a beautiful thing. I've done it myself, to visit the churches with the relics of the saints. And behold, I have thee here present, Jesus Christ, on the altar. My God, the saint of saints, the creator of men, the Lord of angels. Here in the sacrament of the altar, thou art wholly present, my God, the man Christ Jesus, where also the fruit of eternal salvation is plentifully reaped, as often as thou art worthily and devoutly received. And to this we are drawn not by any levity, curiosity, or sensuality, but by a firm faith, a devout hope, and a sincere charity. When we make these words, not just words in a book, but they are engraved in our souls, then nothing can keep us from God. No virus, no earthly power, no puny little devil, no temptation can separate us from the Blessed Sacrament, from divine union. After this Mass, there are a couple people coming who assisted the chapel here. And they're going to be wearing the required protective mask. And this woman is going to bring her little infant boy to be baptized. He was born on March 26th. I won't mention his name or the mother's name, but they come to Mass here. And it's proof that nothing can stop God's grace from coming into the soul of this infant boy, because the mother and the son were in serious danger just a few weeks ago, before and after giving birth. Both near death. And they're both fine now. They're coming in just about an hour to receive this beautiful sacrament of baptism. And we're going to perform that, administer that sacrament for them. And as we may have mentioned, but in closing, the mother of this boy, just last fall, not Catholic, never baptized, but she wanted to learn the faith. So I started instructing her. By phone and then in person. And she became very sick and was near death. She was in another state, and her mother, who comes to Mass here, told me, and I said, you must baptize her right now. So I reviewed briefly with the woman the necessary things to be saved, like a condensed catechism just on the basics about the Holy Trinity and the Incarnation. And then her very mother baptized her because it's an emergency. And then she's been coming to the classes. And we had to stop the classes just because of this coronavirus. But now we're going to continue them online. And in a few weeks, she'll get the supplied ceremonies. And then, maybe sometime in May, she might be here all by herself to make her first Holy Communion. Because right now we're limited to 10 people that can come here at one time. Shows how God cannot be stopped. I just say that. It's a beautiful, moving story about keeping the faith in these difficult times and not letting the devil overcome us. St. Thomas didn't. He wanted proof. Our Lord gave it to him. And I believe that someday we'll all be reunited physically at this Mass. Few weeks, few months, we don't know. But this will come to an end. So again, we pray for all of you who are watching online. We thank you for your patience on this extra long sermon, but we feel it's important for you to hear these words. Very last thing. This vestment, first time it's been worn publicly, is a gift from the fathers, the seminarians, and the sisters for Father Ward's 47th anniversary. It was ordination last Tuesday. It was a privilege to be a part of it, of the planning and the designing. Everyone, we feel grateful. We were in awe of when it was opened, because everyone in varying degrees contributed to it, but its credit goes to God, but also by the incredible devotion and skill of the Carmelite sisters who made this vestment dedicated to our patrons, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family. So that's why we're wearing it today, so you could see it. And then maybe the next time it is worn, you'll be here physically to watch the priest offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass wearing this exquisite vestment. And the very last thing we'll tell you personal is, not too long ago when I received the sacrament penance, went to confession to our Father Superior, he gave me as a penance to say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, have mercy on us. So I'd encourage you to say that aspiration, to say it 5 times, maybe in reparation for your sins, but also to get the protection of these greatest of persons who have watched over our community all these years and continue to do so, and will watch over all of you. May God bless you.